Welcome to Pluralsight's Meet the Author podcast, where every week we have the opportunity to chat with our authors about their latest course releases and get a behind-the-scenes commentary on current technology. This is all brought to you by Pluralsight, hardcore developer training.
Hi, this is Fritz Onion. I'm here today speaking with Richard Sirotor about his new course, Force.com for Developers. Richard is a product manager for cloud computing provider Tier 3, a Microsoft MVP, a blogger, author, trainer, and frequent public speaker. He has spent the majority of his career working with organizations as they planned and implemented their enterprise software solutions. Richard is the author or contributor to three recent books, Applied Architecture Patterns on the Microsoft Platform, SOA Patterns with BizTalk Server 2009, and Microsoft BizTalk 2010 Line of Business Systems Integration. Welcome, Richard.
Thanks for having me, Fritz.
So Force.com, we should probably get this out of the way right at the beginning, which is this is actually not a course on the Star Wars Force. Is that right?
It is not. There's maybe a little Yoda cameo in there, but no, it's not about that.
Yeah, so Force.com refers to the API that Salesforce.com exposes, is my understanding. And in your course here, you get into it's an introduction to the platform. So this cloud platform that Salesforce has created, and how do you as a developer tap into their cloud, basically? And let me just go over the course outline you have here. So you get into the introduction. You talk about using Force.com, the database Force.com, configuring and customizing the Force.com user interface, building reports on Force.com, adding business logic to Force.com applications, leveraging workflows in Force.com, securing Force.com applications, and integrating with Force.com. So it sounds like a pretty comprehensive introduction to the platform and a way to get developers up and running.
Definitely, yeah. There's it's funny, Force.com, you know, the Salesforce team has printed, I think, more material about their product than almost any vendor I've ever seen, but sometimes that's extremely daunting. So that was one reason to do the course, was to try to synthesize that into something that could be digested as a, how do you use this platform, and we build one application throughout the whole course, so you can really see how it all builds upon each other.
Great. So we know this is Salesforce.com, or that's the cloud providing. Maybe you could give us a little context here. I think most developers will have heard of Microsoft's Azure and Amazon's cloud platform, and even Google, for that matter, the Google Apps platform. But I think Salesforce.com or Force.com is probably a little less well-known. Could you kind of put that in perspective for us and maybe describe how it came to be and where it stands today among all these providers?
Sure, definitely. So Salesforce.com, it was used by millions of users, hundreds of thousands of customers, probably one of the showcases for cloud computing software as a service. So a few years back when they really unleashed Force.com as an actual platform as well, it was, hey, here's how we built our application. Now, if you don't want to use traditional CRM, you're not just doing a call center or you're not doing sales reps in the field, you want to build other data-driven relationship apps that need workflow and reporting and a security model, just build them on our platform. So that came into being. Now there's very many customers. They've got a whole kind of app store model where you can buy apps that other people have built and put it in your own environment. And if we're comparing that, you know, you mentioned Azure and some others. If we compare that to other platforms and services out there, there's a lot of diversity there. So it's hard to even, I don't know if you'd ever have a scenario where you were choosing between Force.com and Amazon Web Services. I'd have a tough time coming up with that because there's such a difference. You've got really, there's differences in portability and level of infrastructure abstraction, as I've really spent more time on this. You have applications that you maybe deploy to Windows Azure or Cloud Foundry or AWS, which have a lot of portability for the most part. There's some proprietary services in something like Azure, but you can take an app you've written there and move it to another cloud in a decent case. Force.com apps are for Force. So if I build an app for Force, I'm not putting it anywhere else. So it's not very portable. But at the same time, it's that infrastructure abstraction, which is really nice. So if I'm using Azure or Amazon Web Services, I'm writing code. I'm building an app. There's some framework things underneath that potentially for infrastructure and so forth, but I have to know about a lot of that. Force is different, where you have absolutely no idea what's going on underneath the covers. You have no visibility into the infrastructure. You're not saying how many nodes to run on. Mm. You're not setting up management tasks or upgrading things or tuning anything or scaling it. None of that comes into play. Instead, you just get this framework of user interfaces, security, reporting, There's a full text search engine you just get out of the box. So all of that stuff is just a set of services of which you build on top of. So it's extremely far removed from infrastructure, whereas a lot of other platforms as a service offerings still ask you how many nodes do you want to deploy this to or how much RAM do you need. Those concepts don't really exist in Force.
Right. Interesting. Yeah, it's a very different sort of mindset when you target this type of platform. It sounds to me like it's similar or more similar to Google as a platform, where you kind of have to live in their space and use their language to build out your apps. Is that a fair comparison?
To some extent. I mean, the Google App Engine, for example, you're still writing Java or Python. You're writing apps that you're still coding them up. You're still choosing which frameworks you want to use. Now, to some extent, like all platforms as a service, there's those, you know, you're in someone else's sandbox. So you can only do so many things. You know, in Google, you can't write to the file system. In Force, the same thing. So there's certain things where you've been, you know, in exchange for being able to have this sort of elastic fabric, you're going to play by their rules. And so Force is much like all of them in that capacity. Hmm.
Great. Well, let's get into some of the stuff you talk about in the course. I know one of the things you were really excited about in this course, and it comes out as you watch it, is the integration options that are provided by Force. Can you kind of tell us what jumps out at you from their services there?
Yeah, I'm an integration guy by trade at this point from some of the books and writing. I think that's just a fun domain. And Force.com is one of those few providers of software as a service or platform as a service that just gets the integration story right. It's not perfect, but it's right. So first off, they've got event-driven integration, which virtually no one seems to have, which means if I want to say, whenever somebody updates a contact and they add a new address, I want to send the details of that contact to some web service endpoint out there on the internet. So being able to push data, not always just this pull-based sort of stuff, but they have a very nice, pretty strong event-driven model. So that's great. But then they also have really a lot of different pull options. So there's out-of-the-box SOAP web services for retrieving, creating, updating, deleting data. These can be strongly typed. So if you want to import that WSDL into Visual Studio and work with typed contact objects or sales objects or opportunity objects, have at it. But they also have a weekly typed model where you're dealing with a generic object. And let's say you were selling a product and you didn't want to hard code it to the Richard application. You could use a weekly typed SOAP web service object, which is great. You also have these out-of-the-box REST services that almost do the same thing. So if you're building mobile apps or you want to deal with JSON or you don't want to work with XML and SOAP, fantastic. Do everything you want with REST. Now, at the same time, it's pretty hard to think that out-of-the-box services will do everything you need. So it actually, again, has a really good platform and foundation for doing custom SOAP and REST web services. So if I want to, you know, save on bandwidth and not have to do multiple calls, maybe I build these composite operations that take in a big payload of multiple different objects and in the server side splits that apart and updates the objects. Or I've got some sort of custom business logic I want to expose as a service. So just a really complete offering. It's really how SaaS or platform as a service data integration should be. And they've really done a nice job with it.
That's great. Well, let's get a little bit more concrete now. Let's say I'm a developer, a C-sharp or Java developer, so I have skills in one of those languages. What is the process for me to kind of get into building a Force.com application?
Yeah, good question. So, yeah, I think there's a couple things to think about. The first thing is as I've worked with any platform as a service, it's the tricky thing is to not just jump in and start using your old mindset, maybe a code-first mindset, and that you could code a lot of things that you can configure in a Force.com. But in a lot of cases, would you want to go disappear for a week and sling some amazing code to do a function that you realize you could have ticked one checkbox to perform in the system? Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of the first things a developer is going to want to do is understand what is the platform so that I only code strategically where I need to. Now, Force.com does have a programming language called Apex, which is object-oriented. So if you've done C-sharp, Java, it's going to be very familiar. Really, you're augmenting your skills. You're not learning a whole new thing. But at the same time, there's those subtleties, as you allude to, you have to think about. So Apex is written to be an app programming language for Force, not for a generic application programming language. So there's things that are similar, like variables, classes, loops, all that sort of thing. But there's those differences. I can't run asynchronous scheduling activities in the same way or from writing code. A lot of things happen behind the scenes. So I can't do threading. I can't do access to the file system. I'm playing in a shared sandbox, so certain capabilities have to be turned off so I don't build runaway apps that just take down everybody else. And a lot of things run asynchronously behind the scenes, so a lot of your code has to be written so it can handle multiple records at once. If there's a database trigger, you expect that trigger might get 10 records when it's invoked, not just one at a time. So thinking in bulk, thinking about the governors that are in place in the system is really important as a developer, so you don't accidentally build code like you would in a client app. But then one of the big nice differences is that it's got a built-in ORM for database interaction. So when I'm working with a custom object or just a data object like a contact or a customer, there's no connection objects. There's no stored procedures. It's just execute a statement like insert customer, and that's it. I don't have to instantiate a connection or build up a query or procedure. It's really nice native data integration because that's what a Forest.com app is. So they've really done a cool job with that. That'll be the one area you'd focus on a little more is understanding that database syntax.
Now, is there an IDE or something you download, or do you work completely on the web, or what's the actual programming environment?
Yeah, good question. So you can download an Eclipse-based IDE if you want to work offline and browse the whole Forest.com schema and mess with that. But then a lot of the development we do in the course, for instance, is using the web-based IDE, where if I'm building pages, for example, and I'm writing code for a controller in an MVC page, I can write it, save it, and the page will instantly refresh, and I'm doing it almost live. I'm seeing my changes right in effect in the web-based IDE. So you can do that, and there's also another IDE that's web-based where you can set breakpoints and things as well. So, you know, it's not as going to be as feature-rich as using an offline one that has rich IntelliSense and all that sort of thing. But, you know, it's a pretty functional IDE that, you know, shows you when exceptions are happening during compilation, and it's constantly trying to give you some hints to do it right.
It's amazing how the lines are being blurred between what a development environment is and what one isn't these days, isn't it?
Exactly.
Well, great. So this is Richard Sirota with his new course, Forest.com for Developers. Thanks very much, Richard.
Thanks, Fritz.
Thanks for listening. This course is available as part of our online training library, packed with courses on the latest technology. To view this course or any of our other videos, visit Pluralsight.com. There you can sign up for a subscription to meet your training needs or open a free trial account to get started. Hardcore developer training starts now at Pluralsight.com.